We are Stephen and Jill. Together, we've been buying and reselling land since the 90s.
Our data-centric approach leaves our buyers asking, how can you sell it so cheap?
Here on the Land Academy Show,
we answer that and more. Stephen Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from the sweet Valley of the Sun.
Today, Jill and I talk about the real estate business niches that are inside land niches.
Niches inside of niches.
Niches inside of niches.
That is cool.
the most popular question in Discord right now.
Is it really?
It's not phrased like this, but
they don't know they're asking it.
Yeah. Everybody wants a secret path for some reason.
That's interesting.
Go ahead.
I just think I didn't know people were talking about this. I just know that we talk about this. Mm-hmm. And we naturally fall into this, which is a good, this is all good, positive stuff. Why are you laughing at me?
I'm not laughing. I'm okay. Just smiling in the camera because it's a good topic.
It is. Hey, you know what's kind of funny?
Why are you laughing at me?
Yeah, totally.
Why are you having a good time?
Well, you're laughing at me. Just like, not that you don't laugh at me, and that's okay. I laugh at me. That's totally fine. Speaking of laughing at each other, you know what's so great? I woke up today thinking about, I think the next time we go out in the RV in a couple weeks, we might start running into some colder weather and maybe snow. And I'm like, that makes me happy. I love when we're outdoors camping and we're around a fire because we need a fire.
I love that too. And Jill's referring to cold weather in California where she's from.
Yeah, like so 60.
I'm from Michigan and being out in an RV in snow that's a sleepless night for me.
Love it. Remember one time we had to come back, whatever
sleepless
day we had to come back.
Because of my responsibility as a man.
I know. It was April this year. We had to come home and I was like, man, we missed the snow. Darn it. Mm-hmm. It was like one day, if we'd stayed one more day wherever we were, we would have got snow. And I was very sad. And you're like, thank God.
Yes. Once in a while, it's fine if it's a light California kind of thing, but 10 degrees below. In an RV is not going to, no one's happy.
No, I'm not doing that.
Okay.
No, we're talking a comfy 40 with snow on the ground.
Just over freezing.
Yeah.
40 for the night and 70 during the day.
Yeah, something like that.
That's California winter.
There we go. Yeah, in the mountains. That's true.
As if we even remember what the topic is. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free. And don't forget to subscribe on the Land Academy YouTube channel and comment on the shows you like.
Jen wrote, Have any of you ever been asked to sign a termination of restrictions for an area you own land in? Evidently, this is for a city subdivision. It's not an HOA or POA that had restrictions put in place about 50 years ago to prevent new construction. If they get enough signatures, they can terminate those restrictions and build new housing. I don't see a downside since it's to help with growth, but maybe there's something I'm missing.
I don't see a downside either, as long as you read the fine print. And Jen's been with us for a while, and she's very active in Discord, and thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And this is a great question, and it only helps everybody. So thank you for the question. What she's referring to is deed restrictions. And so believe it or not, I can buy a piece of property, and I can, in the deed, put a deed restriction in it that says something like this. Let's say I'm a weirdo and I say, no one was ever going to build on this property because I believe that there's a spotted owl here. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And then I convey, and it's in there and it's in the deed. And I convey the document to Jill and she's hosed forever. She can't change those deed restrictions.
Hosed.
Because I said, is that an 80s word?
That's a Canadian word.
Is it?
Yeah. It's the only time I've ever heard that. Like Bob and Doug McKenzie or something.
We're all serious here, talking about deed restrictions in real estate and making money. And just reverts to fourth grade when I get serious, especially in front of the camera.
I do.
Why? Is it just too serious?
You know, it's just how I get through the day. Let me have that.
I mean, what would we do if there's just one of us sitting here?
Could you imagine?
It would be Fourth Grade Real Estate by Jill. That's the name of her show. And it would be, you know, Ferris Bueller's Ferris Bueller's history teacher by Steve.
Yes, that's very true.
Neither one of them would have listeners.
Hey,
neither show.
Are you sure? We should try that. I think I would do pretty well. No one would get anything done, but we'd have a good time.
If you inherit a property, or if you buy a property, this is one of the reasons that in that long chain of title of all these deeds that pass through owners after owner over long periods of time, you're supposed to copy and paste the actual description so that you know that deed restriction's in there. But people don't do that. So it's the title company or the title plant's job to smoke these things out and say, which I think they are here. She's been asked to sign a termination of restrictions. So I don't know if that was during the deal or if it was something afterward. But look, I'll make it fourth grade, Jill.
Can we just answer the question?
Deed restrictions are bad.
Yeah.
They restrict use. We're all about use here in the land business. We're constantly on a Thursday call looking at people's deals and saying,
what can you do with
it? Can you use it with its intended use? It's zoned for residential. The size seems okay. The setbacks are okay. The grade's okay. And the access looks great. If, in fact, you can actually use it to build a house on it, this is a great deal. So it comes down to use. And deed restrictions mess with use like nothing else. Would I sign something if I read the fine print that said, let's remove these deed restrictions, which, by the way, I didn't know was possible? I don't know. Yes. I'm going to look into this. I Googled this whole thing and it's like, no, there's nothing out there.
There must be a judge and stuff involved with this. Like, all right, if you really want to do this, everybody's got to be on the same page.
My understanding, and please don't take this as fact. My understanding is when a property has a deed restriction on it, it's over. You know, and this is not meant to scare you at all. Don't add anything to your due diligence list that you don't add anything.
Maybe
don't be freaked out.
Maybe something's changing, though.
Hope so.
I like to think this is changing. This is good. Like, yeah, that guy was crazy back in 1810. Now we should do this.
Really, really quickly, I'll give you a great example in Scottsdale of a deed restriction. Somebody loved trains, and they bought a 40-acre property. It's tied to that comic strip, The Family Circus. That guy who started that and wrote it his entire career lived in Scottsdale. And they put together a 40-acre property and maybe some of the best real estate that you possibly could have in Old Town Scottsdale. And it's still a train park. And there's amazing development all around it. And it's got a deed restriction. And I don't see that changing ever.
No. Isn't the Ritz? It's the Ritz-Carlton that's going across the street.
Yeah, right across the street. Five-star resort.
And they're like going to hear, woo, woo.
$14 billion.
With a little kid train thing going around with us riding it.
And it still costs $1 to ride the train.
It's cool.
And all of our kids grew up doing it.
Oh, yeah.
And we, a million ice cream cones, I bet we've had there.
Yeah.
So it's hard
picnics
to complain
in the park.
When the deed restriction benefits everybody.
Yeah.
But it just as easily could have been, no one is ever going to build anything. It's a park.
Mm-hmm.
Or worse, it's a field. Here's my deed restriction. I hate development. This will never be developed.
Do you know what I was thinking of a deed restriction that would kind of be cool, and I can see this, like buying the lot next door or buying the lot in front of you or behind you, whatever it is, so it doesn't block your own view. That's not nuts.
No. I mean, I don't,
Or just you own it. You don't have to restrict it. Just own the lot and don't build on it.
I'm going to get a lot of emails for saying this. I'm very pro-development. And I think that things that stop that, and within reason, like traffic, like Los Angeles traffic or dramatic lack of water. I understand lack of development because of that, but I do think that responsible development, I'm all for it.
Thank you.
Well, Jill came off her fourth grade thing. Today's topic, real estate, the real estate business's niches inside of land niches, niches inside of niches. Mm-hmm. This is the meat of the show.
So yeah, I had to because I had to keep the show moving along. In my head, I'm like, don't make any more comments about it because it'll open up a whole nother can.
When you are in the real estate business as an investor, or let's just say in the real estate business to make money, you have so many choices. You know, you can become a real estate agent. God help you, but you could become a real estate agent. And sometimes people do that just to realize that, I don't want to be a real estate agent. I'd rather be on the, I'm representing this guy who's buying an office industrial complex. I'd rather be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, that's my story. Mm-hmm. I started out as a commercial real estate broker and very quickly learned that I don't want to represent people. I want to be the guy being represented. And so that's one way into the business. Another way is buying a 40-acre property for $4,000 and selling it for $12,000 and then doing that over and over and over again in some rural area in the country. So that's a niche, the land niche, the real estate agent niche. Well, we're all in the land business here, going on 7 years, I guess, with Land Academy. Mm-hmm. And everybody's asking what the inside track is now in the land niche. So it's a niche inside a niche.
Yep. I love it. So, well, land is already a niche. That's one of the things I thought was so funny when we were talking about this topic. People used to think like, oh, wait a minute. What do you, you know, you're land people? Wow. What a niche. Yeah, we are land people. But then when you really think about it, you can have niches inside of niches. Like, and I was thinking there's two ways that I look at this. One is, and it's all good, by the way. This is why I want to talk about this. The more you specialize in something and get to know something and become a pro at it, the easier it's going to be for you. And I some of these niches too, I see people doing, there's not a lot of competition because no one can A, figure it out, or B, wants to figure it out.
That's land.
So that too, that's land. So you could look at it like there's property niches like zoning or use or, you know, size or even an area. So those are some niches. Like maybe you're the Northeast pro, anything over 20 acres in the Northeast part of the country, that's your niche. That's all you do and you do it well and you know all these things about it and you have a, you know, a buyer's market that you've, you know, collected over the years. That's a great niche. The other way to get into this is you could be like have a seller niche or a buyer niche. Like with the seller niche, I think of maybe you're dealing with sellers that nobody else wants to deal with. Everybody wants a seller that's happily paying their taxes. Everything's current. Everybody's alive. Everybody's well. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the thing I want, especially when you're new. I want you to start with that. Don't go crazy here. I want all those easy things while you figure this out. And then you can start, you know, backing into it and making changes. But maybe become that probate niche. Maybe become the guy that undoes, you know, interesting, you know, dream it up. Fill in the blank.
I have a list of niches when you're ready.
I'm ready. He's like sitting on his hands.
I'm going to make it. I'm not just going to make it easier.
Okay, good.
You can specialize in dead ownership. Mm-hmm. There's a, you know, a lot of lawyers do that. But somebody dies, they own a property, they die with a will, their kids automatically assume, oh, I got dad's land over there. That's not the case at all. You have to go through all kinds of stuff. But if the guy died with the joint tenants with his kids, then they do own the land. So there's these legal niches. That's a good one. A lot of money to be made there. Lack of access property, massive niche. If you are specialized, and there are people that do this, I don't know of one yet in our group, but I'm waiting. There are local people who specialize in buying so-called landlocked property or accessless property, and then they go figure it out legally. This is all legal mm-hmm. niches. They go figure it out. They get to the owners. They put a plate of brownies on their neighbor's porch for 18 days straight until they sit down and say, yeah, I need access to this property. It's not going to affect you at all. And so there's a lot of niches you can do within the land business. But my favorite is this special use property. When you look at all the types of rural land or land in, say, let's say a small rural town, rural towns are becoming really, really popular with the COVID stay at home and the prevalence of working at home on the internet. And you'll find that they're pre-zoned. And so you'll find in a lot of cases in rural towns, areas where they allow and encourage mobile homes to be owned on that land. So it's mobile home land or light industrial land that to be a future, you know, or a commercial property in a small little town that's kind of defunct. There's some boards in the buildings. There's huge opportunity there. So special use property, special use land specifically inside of the Land Academy, what we teach there. Jill and I, this is my favorite right now. Mm-hmm. We buy tons and tons of mobile home designated property all over the southern part of the country, mm-hmm. east and west.
Isn't that funny? I'm just thinking now it's not going to be, oh, you're a land guy. Now it's going to be like, all right, what kind of a land guy?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. That's where we should all go.
I could talk about this for a long time. Especially use property is, I don't think that you should do this if you're new. Forget it. That's you should saying. Follow the land of Canada.
Do the five A's and don't veer from that. And then this will happen.
You're regularly making more than six digits a year buying and selling land, and you have either quit your job or you're about to quit it, and you can support yourself and your family. Continue to do that. This is my dad recommendation. Mm-hmm. Continue to do that. Don't change a thing and add another business line, potential business line of revenue Perfect. Over here. Keep the bread and butter going and add a specific use type thing that you might work. And you might have to go through two or three of them before you find the one that works for you. Mm-hmm.
Just like men.
Yeah.
You might have to go through two or three of them.
You might have to go.
Until you find through one that works for you.
Two or three kids until you get the right one.
No, I like men. Thank you. I'm keeping all the kids. Happy you could join us today. 5 days a week, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the Land Academy Show is called When to Do Your Own Work. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
It sounds like cheating off of somebody else's test paper.
Boy, that's not what it is at all. Here's what the concept came for this show of tomorrow. There are supervisors. We are renovating a house that we live in. And it's not a heavy renovation. I would call it serious decorating. We're not moving walls or changing plumbing or electricity or anything. We're just changing cabinets out and countertops and putting new floors in. It's gotten to the point, and I'll get into great detail about this and how it affects your land business, that no one really wants to do any work. They'll walk around with a clipboard, take a look at some stuff and say, yeah, that's great.
Paycheck, yeah, that's please. Wrong. Or, yeah, that's wrong. Wow, that does look bad.
Wow. Geez, thanks for calling. So what are you going to do about it? How about you put some knee pads on and fix it? We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Oh my God. This is going to be, I'm going to put a sign on the front door. No entry allowed without knee pads. And some kind of tool.
Look, I'll talk about it tomorrow.
But you better enter with a paintbrush or a tool and knee pads or you're not getting in this house.
Check a clipboard at the door. I'm guilty of this.
Yeah.
All right. There's times where I'm like, funny. I say, yeah, I'm not doing that, even though I eventually end up doing it.
Yeah. And by the way, would you like to park closer or should I bring the valet out and I'll park your car for you?
No, man.
I know.
It's the world we live in
it
now.
It is. It's weird. It's like, anyway. If you need access to any sort of ownership or property details, including owner phone numbers and FEMA flood map overlays, please check out parcelfact.com or neighborscoop.com. Created by investors, that's us, or investors like you. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you find our content valuable and we appreciate your support. If you haven't already, please check out our YouTube channel and hit the subscribe button.
We're Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.